Have you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
Welcome to our show here on March 24th, 2015. My guest host tonight is Augie Nast in Tucson. He is going to introduce our guest. He knows her quite well, but I'll be on board to jump in with some questions and comments, and I hope some of our listeners will too. So, Augie, I'm going to let you introduce our guest tonight.
Okay, yeah, this is Augie. I have the pleasure tonight to introduce a lady that I've gotten to know over the last several months. She is a yoga teacher. She is a medical intuitive. She's a healer. She is a Reiki master. She has written 3 books, of which 2 have reached the best-selling list at Amazon. And she is with us tonight to talk about healing and natural medicine and what the mind can do for to keep us healthy. And Catherine, I want to introduce Catherine Kerrigan to you. Are you there, Catherine?
You're trying to hook up with her here.
Oh, okay.
She's calling in on a number that's on the board, I think. He just needs to light up her mic.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she didn't dial the one. Well, anyway, what we're going to talk about tonight is something that everybody wants to know about, but a lot of people don't know where to go get the information. And a lot of that we will talk about tonight. Maybe what is the difference between actual healing and what doctors do? Treatment. There's a huge difference in there. And,
yeah.
Yes?
I'm just saying, I want to ask some questions about just how much can one do with some of these healing modalities. I mean, can it heal some of the worst cases of cancer or diabetes, those kind of things, heart problems, not just, you know, sore muscles or something like that, you know?
Well, I think all of that can be done in a certain way. The more serious the case is, the more it probably has to use more than one thing. It is a combination of things that causes the problem. And I would also think that there should be best to deal with it if you use a combination of things to get rid of the problem. First of all, of course, any problem, health problem, that starts in the mind. And from there on, it goes into the etheric field and it ends up in the physical body. So when healing is concerned, you've got to heal both the physical body, the mental, and the etheric body, as well as the mind. Let's say that you have, if we, any time now when Cassie is online with us, let's just bring her on.
Yeah, this sounds very similar to the philosophy behind homeopathy, where they got to heal the etheric body, I guess, first, because, you know, that's where disease first starts and then later manifests in the physical body.
Yeah.
So it sounds a lot like homeopathy.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Hello.
If you and any people listening tonight, you know, if you have some specific questions about various kinds of ailments, maybe some that you possibly suffer from yourself, you might want to ask her about it and get some expert advice.
Yep, she just called in and We'll just shorten down this interview just a couple of minutes here because she'll be calling in now on dialing one, so that'll be all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much experience has she had with doing healing work?
Oh, she's been doing it for years, and she will be a joy to listen to. Let me talk about healing. You know, it's such a complex issue, and very few people really know much about it. And even if you do know, if you don't have the experience, and it's still, you can still end up short. And that's where a lot of times, you know, doctors say, well, if you got a cancerous tumor, they cut it out and you healed. No, you're not. You're cured. No, you're not. The cancer is still there. Two reasons for it. First of all, you have it still in the etheric body, most likely. And, of course, you have it also in the mental body. If you don't change your ways from what caused that cancerous tumor to show up in the first place, then the cancer is going to be back because you've got it's a lifestyle change. That you got to make sure that you don't do the things that you got that from.
Yeah.
That is very important.
Yeah. I've heard that someone who has a lot of anger and that can bring on cancer from that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
Okay. Hi, Augie. Hi, Eddie.
Hi.
And I apologize. I did call in 5 minutes early, and sorry about the technical difficulties. I could hear you all perfectly, but at any rate, it's so nice for you all to have me on this show. Thank you for everybody for listening. I'm going to jump right into what you all are talking about.
Yes.
And so one of the things that you wanted to talk about, Augie, is the difference between what medical doctors do and what I do. First of all, I have great respect for medical doctors. And I think that what we need to do, one of the things that I'm always encouraging my clients to do is to use the affirmation, all hands that touch my body are healing hands. Hello?
What's that?
Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. We have some interference on the line here. Somebody is not probably muted or just listening, and let's get back to Catherine.
Okay. So what I was saying is what we have to do in this day and age, we have to realize that we live in a very privileged era because we have the very best of modern medical science, but at the same time, we have the very best of alternative medicine, that's alternative holistic medicine that we can take advantage of. So one of the things that I'm always encouraging my clients to do is to use the affirmation, every hand that touches my body is a healing hand. And I am divinely guided to the people and resources that bring me to my greatest healing. So in my view, doctors are our friends. And one of the differences between a modern medical paradigm and the paradigm that I work with is that when I'm working with people, I view the body as having five layers. So there's the physical body, and we understand what that is, the bones, the muscles, the organs. There's the energy body. The energy body includes your breath, your chakras, and your acupuncture system. There's the emotional body. The emotional body is actually the largest part of any of us, and emotions can shut down literally any process in the body. Then you have your mind. Your mind includes your ego, your thoughts, and your beliefs. So, for example, whether you believe you can get healthy, whether you believe you deserve you can get healthy. The willingness. Willingness is very big. When you're willing to do whatever it takes to be healthy, then you'll do whatever it takes. And then finally, we have the spiritual body, which is the eternal part of us. And in yoga, we refer to the spiritual body as the Anandamaya Kosha, and literally that translation of that is the body of bliss. So your spiritual body is a part of you beyond all time and space, but even the spiritual body, we can have soul agreements that are causing dysfunction. We can have karmic contracts. We can have karma to clear. We can have soul agreements that we have made in past lives that are causing us dis-ease in this lifetime. So what's unique about me and the way that I work, when I do a medical intuitive reading, I'm going to read all five levels, not only what's going on in the physical level, but what's going on in your energy body, the emotional body, the mental body, and the spiritual body. And when you work on all five levels, because every dis-ease that you have is always, all the time, happening on all five levels, when you work to heal through all five levels, then your healing can happen thoroughly, completely, and in a very profound way, and you can be done. And when we work to heal ourselves in this manner, healing becomes a matter not just of feeling better and having more energy and having less pain and suffering, but it becomes a supercharged vehicle for spiritual growth, and we become happier, healthier, more peaceful individuals. So I respect medical doctors. My father and brother are medical doctors, and it's not uncommon for me to recommend to my clients, I want you to go to your doctor and have this checked out, because when we are smart, we can work in partnership with doctors. And what I see a lot of times in this day and age, there are people who are steeped in the traditional medical paradigm, and they're afraid to deal with their emotions. They're reluctant to change their food or their relationship with food. And yet there's also holistic people who think that the doctors are harmful. And the truth is that we are very blessed to live in this day and age. And when we take advantage of all the tools that we have available to us, we can become extremely healthy.
That is true. Absolutely true. And what I'm thinking also, you know, when you heal ourselves on all those levels of bodies that you were talking about, then the body, the whole system is clean. If you're missing one of those levels, then the disease is still festering in it, and it can grow from that point. Wouldn't that be right?
Exactly. And as you pointed out, Augie, we have to understand that dis-ease and dysfunction in the body actually begins somewhere out in the energy body. It either begins on the spiritual level, the mental level, the emotional level, or the energetic level, and it comes into the physical. So when we want to heal something, we have to push those issues all the way out through all the levels. So if you only work on simply the physical level and you're not dealing with the energy blocks or the emotions or the thought processes or the soul agreements that cause that dis-ease in the first place, the dysfunction may morph into some other kind of illness or never be gone completely, right? So when we're really smart, what we want to do is realize what's happening, that dis-ease is happening on all five levels at all the time. And when we work through all the levels, then again, it's really a joyful process and a very profound process to heal in this manner.
Now, one of your books deals with increasing the energy in the body and stay up, so to speak, all the time. Energy is something that a lot of people don't understand. How can I get more? How can I have more energy? What would you suggest to tell them?
Well, first of all, energy is an intangible thing, but you know it when you don't have energy. When people are tired or fatigued all the time, it's very apparent to them because they don't have the energy to be a good parent, to be a good mother or father, to be a good partner, to do a good job at whatever they do. And so energy is actually essential for everything that you want to do. Everything that your soul is here to do in this lifetime requires that you have life energy. So when we don't have it, it's apparent to us. But when we do have great energy, we can also tell. We are joyful. Whatever we need to do comes easily. It's easy for us to manifest whatever we want. So my most recent Amazon number one bestseller is called Unlimited Energy Now. And what it does is it takes you through the five levels, what you can do on the physical level to have more energy, what you can do on the energy level, the chakras, the breaths, the acupuncture meridians, what you can do emotionally to have better energy, mentally and spiritually. Now, my observation, Augie, is that frequently people are working on one or two levels. So, for example, people may be doing their yoga or drinking juices or smoothies but still have terrible energy because they're not dealing with the stories they're telling themselves, or they're not clearing the emotions that are dragging themselves down. So I really wanted to talk in this show about how important it is when we are spiritual people to maintain a high energy. And I think the reason that is so important is that the world and the universe is constantly responding to our energy. In every moment, the universe is responding to the energy that we put out. So if we have a very clean, high vibration, then that's what we attract to us. And all illness, no matter what the illness is, whether it's a cold or cancer or back pain or knee pain, all illness is simply slowed down vibration. So if we raise our vibration by practicing good energy medicine, then we can feel physically healthier. And on a spiritual level, it's easier to manifest whatever it is that we're here to do, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that one.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to understand, because especially when people come from, let's say, the regular education system, the American school system, then we end up with a limited understanding of just about everything, and this is one of the important parts of it.
Yeah, well, I think that, again, one of the big things is that when I do a medical intuitive reading, I'm educating people about all five aspects of them. And, again, going back to the paradigm, in the modern medical paradigm, health has only to do with the physical body. But we're not really looking at what causes the physical body to have the dis-ease that it has. If we just look at disease as a microbe or a bacteria or something that we catch, we're not taking full responsibility for how we create our bodies. And in yoga we say your body is like clay. So for example, if you sit in a slumped position all day long, your body is going to adapt this rounded C curve. It's going to go into kyphosis. It's going to go into slumping. And that's going to affect how your organs work. Your lungs are not going to work as well. Your heart's not going to work as well. Your bones are going to misshapen. And so as we take responsibility, we realize that everything affects everything. And as we develop a health consciousness and value all five aspects of ourselves, then we can experience greater health and do whatever it is that we need to do much more easily. And the good news is that in this day and age, people are learning not just about bones and muscles and organs, but there's a lot of education that people are having about the energy system, about the chakras, about the acupuncture meridians. But there's not a great deal of understanding about how your emotions can shut things down or about how your mind affects your energy. But one of the things that I like to explain really simply is this. And I think if there's some simple concepts that people can understand, they can begin to understand how all this works together. So your spiritual body controls your mind. Your mental body, which is your ego, your thoughts, and your beliefs, control your emotions. Your emotional body controls your energy body, and your energy body controls the physical body. So our physical body is simply the most dense, slowed-down aspect of ourselves, and yet it's controlled by these other layers that are intangible and can't be measured. They can be sensed but not quantified.
That makes perfect sense. And people themselves, is an awful lot. There is a lot they can do to solidify those higher level of vibrations also, and see to it them stay more healthy all the time by how they operate their mind and what they think about and what their practices are and so on. Maybe you can mention some on that.
Yes. So if you were going to ask me about some of the top ways to have great spiritual energy, the first thing that I would say, it's really important to have a forgiveness practice. Yep. So when you hold on to past grudges, you're literally holding on to old energy and that drags you down. And you were talking about cancer. One of the big emotions behind cancer is lack of forgiveness. And yet lack of forgiveness can be a factor in literally any illness, especially heart disease. So the first thing that I would say is to have a forgiveness practice. And I'm a big fan of Ho'oponopono, which is a really simple mantra that people can use to practice forgiveness and to clear the energy when they have a misunderstanding with people. Another big one on a spiritual level to have great spiritual energy is to realize that judgment is the opposite of intuition. When we judge people or events, we are filtering information through our ego mind. And it's more honest to say that we have preferences. Like, I would prefer it not to rain today. I would prefer that the doctor not give me a diagnosis of cancer. I would prefer that the light turn green instead of red. I would prefer in this moment that I wasn't fired. And yet, when we look at things from the soul level, which is we're using the higher senses of our intuition, we can realize that the events of our lives can have great meaning and depth. And oftentimes, if you look at things from the intuitive and the spiritual level, the truth of what's happening is the opposite of what you think is happening when you judge it. So I think a great way to develop great spiritual energy is to recognize when you've gone into judgment and shift into using your higher spiritual senses instead. Another great way to maintain wonderful spiritual energy is to practice meditation, which many people talk about. And there's many forms of meditation. You can do moving meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga. You can sit and meditate. You can lie and meditate. You can walk in the woods. You can even wash dishes and meditate. So whatever form of meditation you choose doesn't really matter. The point is to choose a form of meditation that actually works for you. I myself have practiced many forms of meditation, but when we meditate, what we literally do is we quiet the ego mind and we create space for our soul guidance to come in and to listen at the soul level. And also when you meditate, physically you become yin, and when you become yin and still, you regenerate very, very quickly, not just physically, but on every level.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Could
I ask a question? This is Eddie Middleton.
Yes. Hi, Eddie.
Hey. I know that some of the yogis, Roy Eugene Davis, who's a disciple of Yogananda, I had a book by him once, and he said that there actually is a technique in yoga where you can totally rejuvenate yourself, but you have to go into, like, complete retreat in a cave for a year or something. It's a discipline that extremely few people could do. But is something like that actually possible, that one could totally be rejuvenated and be young again through yoga and on meditation? Yeah.
That's a great question, Eddie. So first of all, one of the things, as far as yoga goes, and I actually taught yoga earlier this year evening, and I've taught yoga now for 19 years, yogis measure a person's age not by their chronological age, but by the flexibility of your spine. And we have to understand that just from a physical point of view, you have vertebrae in your spine, actual bones in your spine, that encase the spinal cord. Now, the nerves in your body are the width of a strand of hair. So when you understand that a nerve is the width of a strand of hair, you understand how easy it is to impinge the nerves or to restrict the nerve flow. You have to look at your nervous system as a form of intelligence in your body. And when you maintain the flexibility of your spine, your nervous system works better, and there's better the innervation, it's called. The information to all your organs works much better. And what you'll notice is if you watch people who are longtime yoga practitioners, a lot of times you can't tell how physically they're old they are if you look at their body. So, for example, I can remember being at yoga conferences, and there are ladies there who are 70 years old, but if you look at their body, maybe they look like they're 30 or 40. So the practice of yoga, yoga alone is a wonderful practice to help maintain your youth and vitality, and it's certainly something that I intend to practice the rest of my life. Another great youth promoting exercise is Tai Chi and Qigong, which are very similar, and these forms of exercise, which are very gentle and can be performed by people even over 100 years old, help to build the energy and balance the energy centers, the chakras, the acupuncture meridians, and the Dan Chens, so that these energy centers actually feed the physical body. I myself, Eddie, to answer your question, I don't know of anyone who's gone into a cave for a year, so I can't give you any personal testimonies on that. But I do know that when we meditate, we do regenerate. And I wrote my book, Unlimited Energy Now, because the number one complaint that I hear from my new clients is exhaustion. And the fastest, cheapest way to heal exhaustion is to rest. And there's a technique that I talk about in my book called Grizzly. And Grizzly is simply a simple form of hibernation. So you could take half a day and hibernate. Lie on the couch, take a nap, meditate, take a hot bath, knit, bead, read spiritual books, sleep. And when we take the time to slow down and rest, our physical body can regenerate, we can process our emotions, and we can regenerate very quickly on all levels, if that answers your question.
Yeah, so one doesn't have to go into a cave for a year, but one can practice yoga in a reasonable manner and derive great benefits in terms of revitalizing one's whole body energy system.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the whole rest thing, we live in such a young society. People are encouraged to do and have and get. And there's not a lot of messages where we're taught to be quiet and rest and rejuvenate. And yet when you actually take the time to rest and rejuvenate, then all the things that you want to achieve, you can do so much more easily.
Yeah, another thing we need me to remember is that yoga specifically, you know, it is not just a physical exercise. There's a mental exercise and a spiritual exercise that goes with it, because we think about things and we visualize things and we do breathing exercises with it. So it's not just physical. So it covers pretty much all you're talking about, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And you have to realize a lot of times people don't realize that your thoughts are actually things. And the simplest example of that, if I say to everybody, think of biting into a lemon. Just think about biting into a lemon. And if you notice, as you think about biting into a lemon, you may even experience the taste buds changing and a different sensation in your tongue. So every time you have a thought about anything, you are creating a biochemical response in your body. So if you think of somebody that you really love, you're creating one chemistry. If you're thinking how much you hate your life or hate your boss or hate people, then you're creating another chemistry in your body. And when we take responsibility for realizing what we're actually thinking about and feeling, then you can shift your vibration pretty quickly. And because we are all human, we're all going to have a bad day sooner or later. But when you go into a negative place, there are several ways of dealing with it. First of all, the first step is to realize that you've gone into a negative state. And a simple thing that I always encourage all my clients to do is to have a foolproof positive thought. So even when you're really, really stressed, and when we're really, really stressed, simple methods work the best, because when you're highly stressed, you have trouble thinking and remembering. But if you have a foolproof positive thought, then you can shift your vibration pretty quickly. So my foolproof positive thought is to simply think about hugging my dog. I have a little rescue dog. Her name is Belle. She's cute. She's sweet. She's fluffy. And if I'm in a bad state of mind, if I just simply think about hugging her, I already feel better. The second way to deal with it when you go into a negative frame of mind is to simply ask yourself, how would I rather be thinking? How would I rather be feeling? Because, what the universe is always responding to whatever energy that we're putting out. So if you're angry and resentful, then what's going to happen is you're going to see 100 reasons to be angry and resentful, and you're going to experience that back. I always say the most selfish thing that I could ever do is to be kind and thoughtful to everyone. Because when I'm kind and thoughtful to everyone, that is also what I experience back. So when we realize that the energy that you put out every day in every moment is what you're experiencing, if you're not having a good experience of life, then you have to ask yourself, how would I rather be feeling, and how can I think myself in such a way that I have a different experience?
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah. We're at the top of the hour. Could you take time and give out information about your books and how people could obtain them?
Thank you, Eddie. First of all, my website is www.catherine with a C, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, last name Kerrigan, C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N.com. My other website is www.unlimitedenergynow.com. Both websites have a tremendous amount of free information. And my two most recent books, What is Healing? Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness, and Unlimited Energy Now, are both available on Amazon as well as my web store. And if you order it on my web store, I'll sign it and be very thankful. And I really appreciate you asking. Also, if you contact me through my websites, I give everybody a free 15-minute consult. So I view my work as service, and a lot of times I can answer people's questions pretty quickly.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. We might also open up for callers if anyone would like to ask a question. Call us at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. We welcome anyone who would like to call in with a question or comment.
Okay, that sounds good.
Go ahead, Augie.
Yeah, I have noticed something over the last several years is that the environment we're living in is rising in vibration. There's actually physical proof for that, because 10 years ago, the Schumann resonance was about 7. Now, I just read that the Schumann resonance is up around 13.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, I know it, and that puts us closer to the veil, and there's going to be some things happening. There's some really, really good things in store for us, specifically later this year. But what do you think kind of effect this acceleration of energy will have on the different bodies that we are carrying around?
Oh, that's a great question, Augie, and I'm going to give sort of a long answer. So we all have different spiritual authors that we really enjoy reading. My personal favorite spiritual author is Dr. David Hawkins, who wrote Power versus Force. Dr. Hawkins passed away from this life just a few years ago, and one of his big contributions was he talked about the levels of consciousness, and he came up with a scale from 0 to 1,000. So anything below 200 is destructive to life. 1,000 is Jesus, Buddha. When you're at 600, you're in enlightenment. 400 is reason. 500 is love. 540 is unconditional love. And 600 is enlightenment. Anyway, I know I said all that really fast. Anyway, Dr. Hawkins talked about how the level of consciousness of the world is actually increasing. And so many people focus on the negative and the problems. And we have to realize that whatever you focus on, whether it's in the world or in your own life, whatever you focus on simply increases. And to answer your question, I think the fact that the level of consciousness of the planet is increasing is actually a really great thing, because it means that as a species, as humans, we're actually more focused on problem solving. And with the internet today, we are very aware of all kinds of upsetting things. And but on the positive side of this, this also means that there's more focus on solutions. And I think it's a great thing that more and more people are developing their spirituality, because there are some challenges in life that can only be dealt with from the spiritual perspective. And as I said, once you understand that your spiritual body controls all the other bodies, as we become more peaceful and find ways to feel unconditionally happy no matter what the conditions in life are, then we become a source of light and a source, a true resource for our, not only for ourselves but people around us. I think this is a very encouraging thing for not just for ourselves individually, but for the whole planet.
Absolutely, yeah. And both quantum physics and spiritual science tells us that we are living in a mind-created universe. And to me, that means that we are basically walking around in a hologram. So that means that everything we do or see or experience is, it comes from spirit, because spirit put that out as a hologram in front of us, and we are acting out. That is my impression of it. Do you see any parallels to what you have experienced in that area?
I completely agree. And what's really interesting is that when you study the body, the whole body is a hologram. So, for example, if you tell me your neck hurts, well, the muscles on the muscles in your neck are on the acupuncture meridian for the stomach. On an emotional level, the stomach meridian has to do with contentment or lack thereof. So if you tell me your neck hurts, then I'm immediately going into what's the emotion, what's going on in with the organ, right? So it's quite fascinating to study the body, because everything in the body is interrelated. It's never just your neck. It's never just your foot. It's never just your thumb. It's never just your elbow. It's never just cancer. It's never just arthritis. And the rule is as above, so below. And as you study the body, what you realize is that everything is related to everything. So when you clear the emotions, let's say your neck hurts and the emotion behind it is discontent, then you can clear what's happening in your neck, you can clear what's happening in your stomach. And so it's sort of like I'm a knitter. I like to knit. And I talk about how sometimes your ball of yarn gets in a wad, but if you just slowly pick it apart, then you can unravel the whole thing. So understanding that the body is a hologram is very important. And again, I totally agree with you that we do create our life and our existence. And when you understand that, then it's important to take responsibility. And one of the big healings that I focus on with a lot of my clients is I focus on being willing to get better. So if you are willing to do whatever it takes to be amazing at what you do or to be really healthy, you will be. So in my book, What is Healing? Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness, I talk about payoffs. What are the blocks, congestion, resistance, or interference to a person getting well? And one of these big blocks are payoffs that people have for staying sick. And a big one, for example, is being a victim. People convince themselves over and over again that they're a victim. Victim is the most disempowered role to pick. And if you think you're a victim about anything, a really good thing to do would be to rewrite that story ask yourself why you created that event that happened in your life. Ask yourself what payoff you get by remaining the victim. And then ask yourself, how can I rewrite this story from a more empowered perspective so that I can take my power back from whoever I gave it away to and move forward into the light and health and happiness?
I totally agree, because there's an old saying, you know, that God will give you the nut, but he won't crack it. We got to do our part.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great thing. God will give you the nut, but he won't crack it. And, you know, we have to realize is that as individuals, we are all given specific challenges. And sometimes, initially, when we have these challenges, we take them very personally. So when you lose your job, or your mother dies, or your house burns down, it feels extremely personal. However, we have to realize that this is part of life, and it's not, everyone has these challenges. I may have different challenges than you, but everyone has these challenges. And it's really up to you to decide whether you're going to stand in your power and clear the karma that comes up, or keep repeating your karma over and over again. Whenever I have a personal challenge in my life, and let's face it, you know, we all have challenges from time to time, I always ask myself, what is this about, and what do I need to do to move past this challenge and clear my karma so I don't keep repeating this over and over and over again? So if you embrace your challenges and realize that they're blessings wrapped in brown paper, maybe not so pretty packages, mm-hmm. and you realize that they're actually blessings, then you can majorly leap forward in your spiritual growth, and that's going to help you in every aspect, whether it's your business, your personal health, or your happiness.
Yeah. I agree. Let me quick question. You don't have to spend much time on it, but where do you think medicine is going in the next year, let's say 10 years? Do you think it's going to be a lot more of what we're talking about right now at an accelerated rate, or do you think it'll just slowly stay the same or slowly improve a little bit?
Well, frankly, I think the biggest problem with medicine today is not the practice of medicine itself, but the economics of medicine. The insurance companies have created a wedge between the doctor and the patient, and I think that most doctors go into medicine because they really want to be healers. They really want to help people. They really want to make a difference. But the economics of medicine have changed. And what's interesting is that my mother's father, my maternal grandfather was a doctor, my uncle was a doctor, my brother's a doctor, my father is a doctor. I happen to be a holistic health practitioner. And I think that part of the reason that holistic health has had a resurgence is that when you go to the doctor many times, the doctors are under so much economic pressure to see lots and lots of patients that they don't have time to spend with their patients. I just read an article online today that said that doctors are not reporting to patients when they find that people have Alzheimer's, for example. So it would take time to sit down with a person and say, you have Alzheimer's, these are the ramifications, this is what this means. This is what I need you to do for yourself. This is how I need you to take care of yourself financially and legally. It would actually take time to explain that to people. Whereas if somebody comes with me, my shortest session's an hour. My usual session's an hour and a half. I listen to people. We communicate. Part of what I want people to do is understand what's happening to them. Because the more that people understand what's happening, the more they can be empowered to make different choices and to live a healthier life. So I actually have great compassion for doctors. I think most doctors also go into the practice because they want to have their own business. And because the cost of insurance is so high, many doctors are having to become employees. and this adds to their pressure and their dissatisfaction. One of my clients, paradoxically, is a high-level executive for urgent care centers. And she reports to me that when you go into an urgent care center, the people who are most likely to take care of you, the nurses, for example, are only paid $12 an hour. The doctors are paid roughly about $150,000, so they're making a good salary. But the people who are on the front lines who are, you know, seeing you initially are getting paid $12 an hour. It's kind of scary, and it makes me never want to go to an urgent care center. I'd rather go to an emergency room if it came to that in a hospital. But again, to answer your question, the biggest problem with modern medicine is not the art of medicine, but the economics of medicine, in my opinion.
Yeah, and on top of that, I agree with that one, but on top of that, too, we have, you know, there are governmental institutions that dictated what doctors can do, so their hands are somewhat tied in many, many different areas.
Yes, exactly, and there's a huge fear of lawsuits.
Yep.
So I really enjoy operating outside of the system because the work that I do helps people understand what's going on. And what my goal is to give people their power back so that they can take their own steps. I always tell everybody that I'm Ms. Natural. If there's something that can be done naturally, that's what I'm here to tell people about and to educate people about. And when you do things naturally, you end up just building your vitality overall. And we're all going to die one day. But as one of my teachers in medical intuition said, you know, we want to change our paradigm. Instead of having this expectation that we're all going to fall apart as we age, better to have the paradigm happy, healthy, happy, healthy, happy, healthy, dead. And it's very possible to have a great life even into your elder years. And, you know, eventually we're all going to pass away. But while we're alive, we want to be able to fulfill our sole purpose with great vitality and enjoyment.
Well, Catherine,
I agree.
A question I had, and I was listening to you in the beginning, and you mentioned soul contracts or past life contracts and so forth, and how do you rid yourself, or how do you void that contract or rewrite that contract? If you made a contract in another life, to in a past life, to be ill or to hang on to an illness in this life, and you're in this life and you say, well, I'd like to undo that contract now because I'd rather not have this illness, what is the process for undoing that contract?
Okay, great question. Well, as a healer, I have a huge menu. And one of the, I am a, in addition to being a medical intuitive healer and a Reiki master, I'm also an applied kinesiologist, and I can muscle test. Either way, you're all just asking for guidance. But there's two things that I do. One is that I have a technique that I do where I clear karma. And what you do, and I'm going to break it down simply, you call on the Lords of Karma, and these are spiritual beings who help to rule karma. You ask for their help and their permission. You ask permission to clear an issue, and then you go through the levels. You go through what's called the mind grid level, which is your mental thoughts, your emotions, and see if it's been cleared on that level. Then you clear on the DNA level. Because sometime an issue didn't start with you, it actually came through your ancestors. You clear through the DNA. Then you clear through the karmic contract level. Now, one of the things that I'm always pointing out to people, when you have a soul contract, these are sacred. Sometimes soul contracts are mutual. So, for example, I'm going to do something to help you, Augie, and you're going to do something to help me, Catherine. But sometimes soul contracts are one way. Like, I'm just here to help you, but on the surface of it, it doesn't look like I'm going to get anything back, or you're just going to help me. It's all okay. But you identify what the soul contract is, and then you ask permission to clear it. And finally, The last level is the core soul level and beyond. So sometimes issues are so deep that they're ingrained into our nature on all five levels, the physical, the energetic, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual, and we've been carrying them forward so long that we don't know how to be without that disease or that dysfunction. So you ask permission, and then I ask permission for how to clear it. And when I'm using that procedure, it, believe it or not, actually goes pretty quickly. And I frequently use flower essences to clear it. And then another thing that I do is I look at past life agreements. And so, for example, there's numerous past life agreements that people have done. So, for example, a real common one is in another lifetime, people took a vow of poverty and chastity. And, you know, I'll say, well, you know, that's not a real fun one to take a vow that you'll always be poor and never have a partner. Or you agree to be a caretaker. Or you agree to take on pain and suffering on behalf of others so that other people don't have to suffer. So there's a lot of vows and contracts that people may have taken on a soul level in another lifetime. And I have clients who come to me and they say things like, I have worked through this issue so long. They say, it's like I swept the floor and swept the floor and swept the floor. And a lot of times the reason they're not clearing it is the issue did not begin with them. It began in another lifetime. It began in maybe multiple lifetimes, or it came through their DNA, through their mother or father or previous ancestors. Or there's some soul contract that they're not consciously aware of. And I really like my work because I'm able to get at some of the issues that are behind illness that people are not aware of. So usually if people are consciously aware of something, they're going to be taking some action to do something about it. But a lot of times we have issues that we're not even aware of that are affecting our health and happiness. Does that answer your question?
That does answer my question. Final question was one on, we were talking about yoga and its effect on the with the healing process. And if the spine has become rigid, how do you regain the elasticity back? Right. I'm sure that's a question that a lot would love to know the answer to.
Okay, well, first of all, you know, no matter who you're dealing with, no matter what age they are or what their supposed dysfunction is, you have to realize that your body's alive. Your cells are actually alive. And when we look at our body, it seems like this dense physical thing, and we don't realize how much control that we have over our body. So if I have any person with any sort of spinal abnormality, one of the things that I'm going to be talking to them about is how they sit, how they stand, and how they sleep. Because I can practice yoga with them or even give them stretches to practice on their own, but you spend at least 8 hours a day in your bed. You may spend 8 to 10 hours a day sitting in a chair at your job or driving in your car, and we need to be aware of how you're sitting or how you're sleeping so that because your body is like clay and it's going to respond to the posture that you adopt, you know, most of the time during the day. So secondly, once I have people become aware of how they're sitting and standing and whether or not that's contributing to their pain or illness, as far as developing the flexibility of the spine, what you have to do is start with gentleness. I have 6 200-hour, 1 500-hour yoga training, and I continue to study. One of the people that I study with is actually an expert at healing the back. And I'm working right now with a lady who has scoliosis who's in her early 60s. And she is shocked how quickly her spine has responded. And so the first thing, so once you have people aware of their posture in these different situations, the first thing you do when your spine is rigid is you have to create length and space. And why is creating length and space in the spine so important? When you create length and space in your spine, when you elongate your spine, what you're doing is you're creating space in the vertebrae so that the nerves that run through the vertebrae can actually work better. So you create length and space, and then once you create length and space, then you focus on developing stability in the spine and stability in the core. This may be a bit technical for your listeners, but there's a process that you go through as a teacher and as a yoga practitioner in order to increase flexibility of your spine. But I've worked with lots of people whose back was hardly moving at all, and over time, as they're patient and practical with themselves, you can improve the range of motion. We have to understand that one of the best ways to increase the flexibility of your spine is with twists. Not all twists are safe for everybody, but there are some twists that you can do no matter what that are very, very helpful. And if you go to my website, unlimitedenergynow.com, there's lots of free information, including free videos and free photographs and lots of free blog articles about yoga and posture and information about how to do these exercises yourself so you can make your back better.
That sounds good. We only have a few minutes left there, so before we go any further, you should give us your information on the website again so people can get in touch with you.
Thank you. And if you contact me and mention that you listen to this radio show with Augie and Eddie, I will give you a free 15-minute consult. So my website is www.catherinekerrigan.com. That's Catherine with a C, last name Kerrigan, Carrigan.com. And my other website is www.unlimitedenergynow.com. Thank you so much for having me on the show. You can purchase my books on Amazon. Awaken Your Intuitive Power for Health and Happiness has 28 five-star reviews on Amazon. And Unlimited Energy Now just came out, and it's got 7 five-star reviews on Amazon. I'd love to hook up with any of your listeners on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and Goodreads. And please let me know how I can serve you. I'm always blogging. If there's a subject that anyone wants me to write about, you can send me an email at Catherine with a C at CatherineKerrigan.com and let me know that you want me to write on a certain subject, and I'll be happy to write about that.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, I guess before we get off the air, we have one other caller who's been hanging on quite a while to speak with you. Her name is Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hi. I didn't know if you were doing any readings over the air or not, so before I go that direction, I wanted to ask if you can, if you
absolutely
would.
Absolutely. Fire away.
Okay, great, because I tuned in the middle and I didn't hear you doing that, so I thought maybe not. Okay. I just had a hernia surgery. I'm healing from that. I'm looking at having knee surgery. I need double knee replacement.
Oh.
I'm dealing with circulation in my legs issues, and the last couple of days I've been getting migraine headaches, which I've had for off and on all my life. I've had headaches, and I'm just wondering if they're connected. Are they different things? What are they?
Yeah. Well, as you know, you have lots of things going on multiple levels, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is you've got lots of different things going on. They're separate things, but all related. Overall, I'll do this quick and dirty because I know they've got to wrap up the show. When I'm doing a quick and dirty medical intuitive reading, one of the things that I do is look at people's overall chi level, with 50 being average for somebody your age. Your overall chi level is 43 out of 100. So that means that you have less energy than the average woman your age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let me look at your most stressed organ. Your most stressed organ is actually your heart. And what I think that you have, there's a syndrome called cardiac low back. And cardiac low back is a symptom of exhaustion. And it's when your lower back gives out to keep you from having a heart attack because you are really exhausted. And it shows up, people sometimes